Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Jay Posner, my boss, the sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Kevin. I actually took a day off yesterday.
That's why I asked.
I know. It was very, very unusual, but very refreshing, and it was for a very good cause, and I'm very happy I did it. But it's also good to be back, and of course, it's always good to be back talking with you about the Padres. Tell me what I've missed.
Well, Tommy Pham reported. No, that was before your day off, in which you only texted me.
I was only off one day.
Yeah, you only texted me once about work, which people need to understand. That is truly a day off, because usually it would be like, I'm taking a day off, and Jay and I text 10 or 12 times. But anyway, right. There's position battles going on. I think that's fascinating in this age of COVID and how it's going to come down to the end. And then I'm telling you, I want to sort of sound the alarm bell. And that's not like, the place is on fire, but they're going to be like there's the potential for a different lineup every day. There's the potential for Manny Machado to have to sit out twice in a week, you know, Monday and Friday, without him ever having COVID, but maybe he was near a teammate who had symptoms. The roster construction will reflect that, where they're like, all right, well, let's see, we're going to keep Ty France and Jake Cronenworth and Greg Garcia, and we're going to work Jerickson Profar in left field. And I mean, this is, the more you learn about this and the thinking that's going into it, the crazier this season could be, Jay.
A different lineup every day. Isn't that why everybody, all the experts wanted Andy Green fired? Because he couldn't settle on a lineup. So are we going to go through this again?
Please. Well, this in addition to the manager talking about, you know, matchups and how he's fared well against this guy, he'll be talking about, well, he wasn't available. And I can tell you, or I can't tell you why, because of the HIPAA and what have you. It's just going to be, you know, a starting pitcher could be scratched a couple hours before his scheduled start. And, you know, probably each team on the road gets to take three taxi squad members. I would imagine a starting pitcher would be among those. One of them has to be a catcher. Man, it is just going to be like a day-to-day thing. What am I going to see at the ballpark today?
I wonder if three is going to be enough. I mean, the way things are going we saw what Tommy Pham said in your story the other day about if they don't get the testing together, it's going to be a bad year. Will they be able to, if they use a taxi squad member, you know, like when they're in Seattle, will they be able to fly somebody else up as well? Or are they just committed to, sorry, if you only have the three and after that, you're out of luck?
I believe that you are able to have three taxi squad members. So if you had to put somebody on the active roster. Now, my understanding was also that when a player goes down, he has to stay down for, and I think it's 7 days. When it has to do with COVID, I don't think that applies. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we learn as we go. And I honestly believe there's still things being tweaked
made up as we go too, a little bit.
You can say that. I think that by the end of the season, they have to have like 11th level playing field, but they are still the MLB and the MLBPA. They're still talking about different things and they're getting feedback from general managers, from managers, from players about how things are going. And hey, wait a minute, we hadn't thought about this. What about what happens in this scenario? So it's going to be wild.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, we're only, I think, 8 days away from the first games. With the Dodgers and Giants and the Yankees and the Nationals. And I'm not sure is where the Yankees game is. Is that in Washington, Kevin? Do you remember?
I thought that was in Washington.
They're in Washington, and I think the Giants and Dodgers are playing in LA. And those are the two places where there are issues right now in terms of quarantine, you know, like quarantines. And I know there's a story on the LA Times website today about that and whether the Dodgers are going to get an exemption. And I don't remember all the details, but there's something about how the Nationals and the Dodgers might be at some sort of disadvantage because of this quarantine situation in their respective cities.
I believe when someone in LA or the District of Columbia, when they come into contact with someone, they are supposed to quarantine for 14 days, that is tested positive. And they're looking to get an exemption. Now, here's why I think they will get an exemption. I have, over the past several weeks, and in particular recently, talked to people in the county that are on sort of the front lines, if you will. And the Padres barely register on their list of concerns, and baseball does, because of the strict protocols and because they're outdoors for the most part. And so it's hard for me to imagine that the Dodgers and the Nationals would not get some sort of exemption, though I also imagine it's not very high on the list of priorities for the governments in those areas to be, you know, oh, we got to get right on that because the Dodgers requested it. LA's got some severe problems to deal with up there. But all this that's going on outside is not as concerning to the status of baseball as I think some of us might be tempted to think, and, you know, for good reason, really. I mean, it seems like the place is on fire. I think that some of these things, it's good that they're coming up because then they can be resolved, because that would put the Dodgers and Nationals at an incredible disadvantage potentially.
Right. And I mean, I talked about this with someone the other day. I mean, you know, what happens if something happens like that happened with Dallas FC and MLS, where they had like 9 people test positive? I mean, I wonder if there comes a point, if a team just can't go anymore, is that it? Do they just have to drop out? Or is the fact that they have 60-man player pool is the reason for that, where they would say, hey, we gave you 60 players. It's not our fault that you put 10 prospects, you know, on the bottom 10. You've got to use those guys. I'm guessing it's probably more that's what ends up happening, unless this happens to a lot of teams. And if that happens, you know, then the plug may have to be pulled on everything.
All that has been told to me and all that I've seen anywhere, because I think it's a valid question, it could be the question that hangs over the whole season, right? Is that the commissioner has the ability to determine when losses to teams have created, you know, it has affected the competitive integrity, I think was what was said to me.
And not just losses because guys are testing positive, but losses because, you know, if Mike Trout decides he's not going to play, and then 10 of his teammates decide the same thing, now you've got a real issue. But anyway, let's get back to the Padres. What's your favorite position battle right now?
Catcher is intriguing to me, but I think we're going to see the same old, same old. If Austin Hedges can hit, he'll be in there quite a bit. You got the DH to play with. Get Francisco Mejia some at bats if he's hitting like he did for a portion of the outfield. So Franchy Cordero has not had a good summer. Now he's starting to get on base recently, and that's it's going to take. Whereas Edward Olivares, one of their prospects, a guy they got for Yangervis Solarte. Kind of one of those throwaway trades with Toronto. He has had an exceptional camp. And every time that you seem to think, okay, they're figuring him out or he's coming down to earth, he has another great at bat, whether he gets a hit or whether he gets an out. It's a really solid at bat. I would call him and Cordero neck and neck right now. Cordero being given the benefit of the doubt because of the potential he has, how long he's been in the organization, how long they've been waiting for him, the incredible improvements that he made last year or yet another injury. But he has not had a good camp. And in this season, you can't afford for someone to take April to get hot, because there is no April or May or June or really July. So it's like, hey, if Edward Olivares is the guy, then that's the guy who will be on the roster. Also going to be a matter of, are they going to 5 outfielders? Are they going to have 6 outfielders? I tend to think they're going to have 5 outfielders, 6 defenders, 2 catchers, and go with 15 pitchers. That would be 17 pitchers. So maybe it is 6. And honestly, I've got no solid insight as to how they are going to build the roster. It could depend on who's healthy at the time. That's like a huge deal. I think we need 6 outfielders.
And isn't there some danger a little bit in saying that, well, you know, this guy's had a hot camp, you know, basically in intra-squad games. And, you know, we've seen guys have hot Arizonas in spring training, and then the season starts and they're nowhere. It doesn't always carry over. I mean, I guess, you obviously have to make a determination based on something. But I wonder if they're going to go, if there's a danger in going overboard and saying that, wow, this guy's been great in our intra-squad games, and this other guy's been just so-so, and we're going to throw everything else out the window and just go with the guy who's, played well in the last week.
Well, I think valid. I thought it was a really funny quote that A.J. Preller said, you know, you don't get one of the old adages in baseball. You don't get fooled in spring training or September. But he doesn't know about July summer camp, whether you get fooled. Probably do. And it's for this very matter. Now, hot to the team is going to be different than hot to the rest of us in a lot of ways. It's how did he look in everything that they did, not just his results. And, you know, what is his health like and that sort of thing. So it is a really tough determination because they can't afford for a guy to start slow, but they can't afford to be fooled by what he did in summer camp. Yeah, that's going to be kind of a, I don't want to say a crapshoot. I mean, these guys are pouring a lot into this. Every inter-squad game they play, you've got 20, 25 members of their player development department or their personnel department, their player development staff, minor league coaches watching these games. And then these coaches and player personnel guys are working like longer hours than they do in spring training, which is saying a lot. It's longer hours than you, Jay.
Well, I would hope not, but it's probably true. We do have a question here that we should answer. It says an update on Mackenzie Gore. Haven't seen how he's pitched recently. Have you seen him in any intra-squad games?
Yeah, and I would imagine that today, perhaps again. It's funny. It's like I'm not up to date like I would be in spring training, but I think it's possible today. Garrett Richards goes today. Mackenzie Gore in both of his outings, in particular in the last one, it's clear he can get major leaguers out. It's remarkable. It's actually been remarkable about all of their prospects, how much they have the ability to step up. Now, the key will be, do they continue to make the adjustments? Because that's what Major League Baseball is all about, right? They figure out what your weaknesses are, what your strengths are, and they adjust, and you have to adjust to that. But the confidence and the talent that all these kids have is – wow, because, you know, some of these guys like Eric Hosmer has made the comment. I think even Manny Machado, who was in the majors at 19, made the comment like, if you put me out there with, some really good players at that age, I'm going to be really nervous. And these kids don't look nervous at all. Mackenzie Gore specifically, it has been the issue, and that issue makes it sound bad. It's something that every kid has to deal with. His stuff is not consistent enough. His command is not consistent enough. That's the only issue. Mackenzie Gore will almost certainly pitch for the Padres this season.
So we should mention that the tonight's game and tomorrow's game, the two intra-squad games at I think 6:10 both night are being streamed on the Padres website. And then I believe the exhibition game on Monday at Petco against the Angels is going to be on Fox San Diego, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe both those games are. I believe those guys need their reps too. Obviously it'll be a universal feed that they get in that case, I guess, is it Fox Sports West now, they call it. So
yeah, it would be. Actually just got an email from the from Fox here about the two live exhibition games next Monday and Wednesday.
All right.
We'll both be on Fox San Diego, and then all the games obviously during the season are on there, although I think five of them are on FS1 instead of Fox San Diego, but I think everybody gets, if you get one, you get the other. I wanted to talk about Hedges briefly, and the idea that he says, I've got this approach now and I'm going to ride or die with it. So what do you think? Are we going to see him ride, or are we going to see him die? And obviously, Jay Singler's made it clear his on-base percentage is not going to be .257 and have him be in the lineup, that he's got to get it up around .300. So what do you think we're going to see out of Austin Hedges, as if you could predict any of this?
Yeah, because he's second only to Will Myers in terms of us talking about the adjustments that consistency. There is – yeah, it's like every year I feel bad for him. I feel worse for myself because I have to find a new way to frame it. What I will say about Austin Hedges is he essentially has no choice. And maybe the 60 games works because he only has to stay with this approach for 60 games. He's going to walk into five or six homers in 60 games. Mm-hmm. Okay. He needs to get on base 3 out of 10 times. If it's even close to that, I mean, if it's, 2.95 out of 10 times, and he's catching really well. And the guys around him, this has been an issue. You know, I'm not saying you can afford a 257 on base percentage, okay? But if you're Austin Hedges defensively and all that means, and you have a 280 on base percentage, and the guys around you in the order don't also have a 280 or 290 on base percentage, you know, your hole in the offense isn't like a black hole, right? But unfortunately, that's been the case. So if around him, and if you look at the lineups they've been throwing out there, we're talking about Trent Grisham batting fifth or sixth. We're talking about Will Myers batting sixth or seventh. I mean, that seems like the potential for a better lineup. Tommy Pham up there at the top. You know, we'll see, but there is that potential. So, you know, the rising tide, it raises all ships. That's also something you have to hope for, because as much as I like Austin Hedges, I mean, quite honestly, I just think that he's a really good player and a really good guy and good for this team. The fact is, there's not much time left. There's not much time left in this guy's bat if it doesn't come to life.
How do you get any sense of how short the leash is? I mean, in terms of, you know, is it a week? Is it 3 weeks? You know, that sort of thing.
Some of that's going to depend on Francisco Mejia too. You got the DH to work with, where if they're both hitting well, but if neither is hitting well, then it's like, oh geez, what do we do? There's Luis Torrens, but I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Who, by the way, if the last time you saw Luis Torrens play was when he was a Rule 5 pick. If you missed him last September and it went one game, and you haven't watched his minor league, the guy's a lot better. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're talking about Luis Torrens being in instead of one of these guys. The leash shorter because everyone's leash is shorter in a 60-game season.
And we could talk about lineup construction at another point, but there's a certain left-handed hitter that I would think I would want to see lower in the order against left-handed pitching, as opposed to maybe in the cleanup spot against right-handed pitching. But we can talk about that.
If that happens, Eric Hosmer.
What's that?
Yeah.
So where are things on the rotation right now? Do you get any sense? Is Lucchesi the favorite for the fifth spot right now from what you've seen?
Lucchesi's the favorite for the fifth spot if for no other reason than Cal Quantrill has proved himself in a relief role.
Right.
He has never pitched in relief. Now, a lot of people are going to have to do different things this season. But I believe with Joey Lucchesi that they feel like they've gotten him to a place of consistency now. They've gotten him a place where he's physically fit. His mental game is stronger, and they would like to keep him in the spot that got him there, rather than, oh, hey, Joe, need you to learn how to pitch in the fifth inning and try to get us through the game or three innings. So, and Cal Quantrill has done that from the start. So I think Joey Lucchesi starts as your number five starter. Look, they have assured us that they're going with five pitchers. 30 games in the first 31 days and 52 in the first 55 days of the season, there will be a spot start for Cal Quantrill and others, even if by some miracle the Padres are not hit with any COVID cases or any injuries in their rotation. There will have to be spot starts.
Right, right. Well, I mean, some, you know, people get the flu. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why why people miss starts. There is one other question I see here from a guy asking you, have you seen Cole Wilcox pitch since he signed?
I have not seen Cole Wilcox pitch. I think that he didn't even do his first bullpen until a week into this thing. So right. I haven't seen Cole Wilcox pitch. And to some extent, that's surprising to me. I did not hear whether he pitched one of the last two nights at USD. Cole Wilcox is a long, it's Jeff Sanders. Purview and he does a great job at that. I apologize. You know, he's a little ways from the majors and certainly a little not going to be on the team this year.
Right. They have intra-squads the next two nights. Are they going to be playing them over the weekend as well? And you're going to have to grab the binoculars again, or is that finished?
Friday and Saturday is supposed to be there, and I'll have to grab the binoculars, and that'll be nice, and a wistful farewell to the grassy knoll for me. Sunday, going to take a break is my understanding. That'll be the last off day for a month or for over a month, and so they're going to take a little break there. these next two nights are going to be like serious dress rehearsals for everybody, the game day staff, everybody. And that's what they've been using these inter-squads for, because it is such a unique situation. But these next two nights will be very interesting. Like I said, Garrett Richards going tonight. I think the rotation is going to be Paddock, Lamet Richards. It might be Paddock, Richards, Lamet, and then Davies, Lou Casey.
You'll be in the press box tonight, or will you go to the grassy knoll just for the heck of it?
I think I'll take advantage of the press box, especially since, it's a little easier to write from there. The game starts at 6:10. I will tell you one thing I'm going to miss, and man, I look as forward to anybody as Don and Mud getting back to work, but these inter-squad games, like, have been going like 2:15, 2:20, because the pitcher gets the ball, he throws his warm-ups, and it plays. Right. And it shows you that, now there are some guys who take longer, but it shows you that these guys want to have it go, that maybe it's not so much the pace of the game as all the things they have to do that I'm actually going to miss these inter-squad games to some extent.
Well, and I wonder how much some of these guys will still move quick, work fast, especially relievers seem to be the worst of all when, you get a runner on base and all of a sudden it's, 20, 30, 40 seconds between pitches. It'd be nice to pick that up a little bit. But anyway, I'll look forward to seeing what you've been watching from the grassy knoll.
It's nice that they're going to stream these suckers.
Be able to get a look the next couple nights. And we should come back, maybe on Monday. We might have to start two a week next week, Kevin. We might have to go Monday and then and do a special opening day edition.
We've come close to doing the start of every series. Doing that this year, there's a fair amount of two-game series. We'd really be going at it. I don't have a problem with that, but I do look forward. Like you said, we are 9 days away. Yeah, the 24th.
Yeah.
No. Depends on how you count, Jay.
Well, 8 days from the MLB openers, 9 days from the Padres openers. So, we'll catch you probably on Monday as things stand now, and it'll be game week. Raider week or Diamondback week or whatever we want to call it. I know. We're almost there, Kevin. We're almost there.
I don't know if it's 8 short days or 8 long days. That's
I know.
That's something Jace Tingler's really been kind of harping on, and is honestly, you can't get too far ahead because it might not happen. That's just a reality that hangs over. So you got to prepare today. Okay. It's like these guys talk about one day at a time. I think they're actually finally living it.
Well,
thanks, everybody.
Living smart too. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.